Be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you'll notice by both our screen and also the handout you received when you came inside the house of the Lord this morning, the title of our message is Living Sacrifices. Based on St. Paul's words from Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. St. Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Again, our title is Living Sacrifices, and I encourage you to follow your sermon outline handed to you this morning. Once upon a time, don't you love it when stories start like that? You know what's coming next. Once upon a time, there was an orphaned chicken and an orphaned pig. And they had been adopted by a local congregation, a nice group of church people who had cared for them for many years and really spoiled them. And one day the pig and the chicken got together and had a meeting and said, "We've got to do something to tell these people how much we appreciate all they've done." And the chicken said to the pig, "I have a great idea. Let's put on a dinner for them." Pig said, "Sounds like a good idea to me. What's the menu?" And the chicken said, "Let's serve them ham and eggs." And the pig said, "Whoa, for you, that's just a contribution. But for me, it's a total commitment." According to the words of our text this morning, the pig was not ready to present himself as a living sacrifice. But indeed, that is exactly what St. Paul is calling of God's people in this text. Listen again. Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." Those who are willing sacrifices put themselves into God's hands willingly. As an act of thanks and praise, they say, "Lord, I give myself to you. All that I am, all that I have belongs to you, and I dedicate it to you for your righteous purposes." A living sacrifice never says, "I got to." They say, "I get to." Now, the biblical term living sacrifice has clear Old Testament roots. Animals were sacrificed to God in the Old Testament for various reasons. To give Him thanks, to repent of sin, to celebrate deliverance. But note, these animals were never willing. They likely were drugged, kicking and screaming to the altar of sacrifice. In contrast, in Romans 12, Paul says that as God's children, we are to willingly offer ourselves for God's holy purposes in serving Him. This past 2 weeks, we've begun again our new family confirmation class. I absolutely love teaching that class of teenagers and their parents. As they come to study God's Word with me for 9 months, God's Word in Luther's Catechism. Well, in the first class when I taught them, I told them a story of how I came to faith 44 years ago in confirmation class. And particularly, I want to share with you this morning something my little boyhood pastor taught me that ties into our text of living sacrifices. Something good for us all to consider this morning. As a living sacrifice, as God's special child, when I am faced with an important decision, I'm to ask myself two questions. The first question is this. What would Jesus do if he were faced with this decision? And secondly, what would I do if Jesus were right by my side when I had to make a decision? Now, obviously, our Lord is by our side all the time. But when we visualize him right next to our side, this is really important for teenagers. If my Lord were right by my side when crunch time came to make a decision, what would I do? These are two good questions for all of us. You see, living sacrifices, God's children, are not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. The children's sermon? They're to be different than everybody else around. Living sacrifices do not do things like godless people who live all around them. Listen to St. Paul's words again. As living sacrifices, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul here uses in the Greek language a very technical Greek word. It's synsychomazo. Try saying that one with me. Synsychomazo. Well, this is a term from the iron smelting factories of his day. In these factories, molten iron was poured into prefabricated molds or patterns. This was done so that hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of exact replicas could be made. So, for example, on this assembly line, hundreds and hundreds of replica metal cups could be made, each looking just like the one before it, without any variation. Now, in a spiritual sense, Paul is making a very important point for all of us today. He's saying to us, don't let this sinful world around you make you into a replica. Stand out from the crowd. As God's child, be different. Be a living sacrifice, different than all the replica cups that surround you. My friends, I've been here now almost 4.5 years as your pastor. The longer I'm here, the clearer I see that St. Paul's words here describe exactly the spiritual battle that is raging for the souls of every one of God's people, particularly in this area on the West Coast. Some of you are faring pretty well in the battle. Some of you are struggling in the battle. Some of you or your loved ones are being defeated in the battle. What's the battle? It's the attack of temptations, lies, seductions, and falsehoods that are thrust into your life every day. This attack comes from the devil and the sinful world around us, and this attack purposefully looks good, seems to be okay, seems to be a good thing. This attack takes the forms of some of these things, for example. Exciting sports with everybody else on Sunday morning. A life filled, a family filled with so many, many, many activities, keeping so busy, 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 like everybody else. Having and striving to get expensive possessions, like my friends and neighbors, like everybody else. Living my life, my family living their life, like everybody else. So we don't feel left out. In the words of our text, it sure sounds a lot like being conformed to the pattern of this world. It sure sounds a lot like being poured into a mold or a pattern, being made into a replica cup like all the other replica cups going down the assembly line of our world today. Ask yourself this morning this question. How is my life, how is the life of my family any different than the lives of the godless people that surround us in this area? At times, as a pastor, I have to confess to you this morning, I almost get worn out by continually warning Christian individuals and families not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Too often I hear by their words and by their actions, but we just want to do what everybody else is doing. And as I see less and less of them in God's house, I see another replica cup moving down the assembly line like everybody else. All throughout the Bible, God calls His people to be holy. And holy really means different, distinct, separate, not a replica. Today, each of us, from children to teens to adults, are under constant pressure to conform to the values and patterns of this world, to be like everybody else. You see, peer pressure is not just for teenagers. Listen again to Paul's words. Really listen again to Paul's words. He says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He uses another technical word from the iron smelting plant. Transformed. This verb is metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. It really means to be reformed or reshaped or made into something brand new. It means to take one of those replica cups in the plant, to melt it down and pour it into a brand new mold, a brand new pattern, so it has a brand new purpose. In a spiritual sense, Paul says, we are transformed, he says, by the renewing of our mind. The Greek word mind there, nous, really means my total inner direction, my thinking, my feeling, my believing. Almighty God transforms us, reshapes us, metamorphosizes us when we encounter the power of His living Word. As we listen, really listen to God's Word preached from the pulpit, as we come to and attend and participate in Bible study, as we use God's Word in our private and family devotions, as we meditate upon His Word in our prayers, in these ways, God transforms us. He reshapes us. He melts us and remolds us to be His joyful, living sacrifice. But what did St. Paul say? Are you ready for some good news? St. Paul says, this is only possible. The only way sinful people can be transformed and not conformed, Paul says, is in view of God's mercy. Listen to the text. Paul says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. It is only in view of God's mercy. It is only by God's mercy. It is only because of God's mercy that we sinners can be transformed into brand new people. Holy, separate, not replicas, living sacrifices. The fact of God's mercy is a thread that weaves itself through the entire Bible. What did we talk about in our Bible class this morning? Kevin McDowell had the saying of sayings today, the persistent and consistent mercy of God for all sinners. Listen to what it says in just one passage in Romans 5. It says, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love and mercy toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know the old saying, action speaks louder than words. God doesn't just talk about mercy. He demonstrates it. What is God's mercy? And now's the time to really tune into the sermon. What is God's mercy? It's the amazing fact that God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has willingly given himself and died upon Calvary's cross for your sins, and thank God for mine. It's the amazing fact that he did this, according to St. Paul, while we were still sinners, meaning before we could do anything to deserve it, he did it for us. It's the amazing fact that as Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation for any sinner who comes to him in simple, repentant faith. It's the amazing fact that we can live now, then die, and then live again forever, surrounded by God's abundant mercy. That's why St. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Speaking of mercy, though, it never ceases to amaze me how many people do not see our loving Heavenly Father as a God of mercy, but rather as a celestial policeman just ready to pounce on somebody when they've done something wrong. Speaking of policemen, I read recently in my research to prepare the sermon today about a man who was in a hurry to get to work one morning. Speeding. None of us here ever do that, right? That's why where we live in Steveston, they just put speed bumps on Three Road and speed bumps on Gilbert Road. And now I'm like the Dukes of Hazzard if I fly too quickly in my car. But in this story, this man was in a hurry to get to work. Speeding. The light was about to change, so he pushed the gas. Just as he did that, he noticed on the other corner a traffic policeman on his motorcycle staring right at him. So the man slammed on his brakes, came to a screeching, sliding stop. He looked up to the policeman, expecting the worst. The policeman got off his motorcycle, put his hands on his hips and smiled and made that universal gesture of all baseball umpires. And he said, "Safe!" And then the policeman walked over to his car, this time giggling as you are, and saying, "You need to slow down, sir. Have a nice day." And he waved him on. And the driver of that car says he knew that day he had come face to face with mercy. My friends, because of the atoning sacrifice and victorious resurrection of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, we sinners have experienced mercy. In view of that mercy, that transforms us, may we not be conformed to the pattern of this world. May we truly stand out, no longer be a replica. May we truly be God's holy and living sacrifices. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.